Good morning. Today's daf in Darim is Yud Tes. We are starting. We got to the top of Yud Tes yesterday, but we're going to start again from the Gemara. So we're going to go back to Yud Ches. We're going to be starting with the Hatanan, and we have just a couple more days to go. A couple more days to go in terms of finishing, concluding this second parak of the Masechta. Second parak of the Masechta, along with the first parak, goes over formulation. Exactly what, how to formulate a neder. And when is one going to be bound by neder when given the proper formulation? And we went over various forms of formulations. We went over kinui and yad and hatfasa. Today's daf is being sponsored. This week is being sponsored. Chaim Masseth is sponsoring from West Orange. Should be for Elias Neshama of his father, Nechemia ben Avram, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We're starting today on the very bottom of Yud Ches Amud Beis, and let's get underway. The Gemara is now citing what seems to be a stira between two Mishnayos, our Mishnah and the Mishnah and Tahara. So let's start off with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Stam Nedarim LaHachmir. Okay, so when it comes to a Stam Neder, so we're going to be Machmir. What does that mean? So as we already discussed, we pointed out that when a person makes a declaration and it's ambiguous, it's not clear exactly what he meant. So it could go in one of two directions. And we're now talking about the Perish Amilim, just simply the simple interpretation of the words. So the Mishnah tells us we're going to be Machmir. So you make a statement that this should be, I'll give an example. The Mishnah gave many examples, almost a half dozen examples. But just as an example, I would say it's a simple example. None of the examples in the Mishnah are simple, but let's say that I go ahead and I compare a loaf of bread to Meiser. And I say the word Meiser by itself. And I don't qualify. Which mice are we talking about? There are different types of mice. There's Meiser Behema, there's Meiser Goren. Meiser Behema is a Davar Hanador. Meiser Goren is not a Davar Hanador. Which one did you mean? The former creates Hatfasa. The latter does not create Hatfasa. Okay. So which one did you mean? So if you are not clear and you didn't clarify and you left it ambiguous, so our Mishnah taught us yesterday that Stam Nedarim Lahachmir, that we're going to be Machmir. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah yesterday. And so clearly the position of our Tana, of our Mishnah here in Nedarim, is that in left with ambiguity, so we're going to be Machmir. Good. That's our Mishnah. Now what we had to contend with, we started this yesterday, but we're going to start again fresh, and that is that there's another Mishnah located in Taharos. Okay. Deep within the Seder of Taharos, there's a Masechta called Taharos, and within the Masechta, so there's a couple of Mishayos in succession that deal with Sfeikos. And what do you do with a Sfeik? So one of the Mishayos over there, we're about to quote it. So the Hatanan. So I'm going to be starting from the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We learned in the Mishnah over there in Taharos. Sfeik Nezirus Lahakel. That if a person is Sfeik Nezirus, so you're going to be Mako. Sfeik Nezirus, what exactly is Sfeik Nezirus? So it could be a declaration. In other words, it could be a declarative issue. It wasn't clear. Alternatively, and it'll be, and this happens to be many of the cases upcoming in our Gemara today, is that it's situational. What happened was is that he linked his Nazirus to an event, and he wasn't sure whether or not the event happened or didn't happen. Okay, if you don't fully understand, just stick around. Over the course of today's daf, we're going to give a number of examples of basically it was a situational suffix. Regardless, the point is that it was a suffix, and what does the Mishnah say? Suffix Nazirus Lahakel. So what we're going to do is we're going to be Mekel, meaning that if we're not totally convinced or sure that he accepted upon himself to become a Nazir, he's not going to be a Nazir. And so what we have over here is a really simple stira between our Mishnah over here in Nedarim and the Mishnah in Taharos. And it's blatant, right? It's very straightforward. Our Mishnah over here says that Stam Nedarim are going to be Machmir. The Mishnah in Taharos says that Stam Nazirus are going to be Mekel. Okay, so which one is it? Which one's correct? How do we resolve the stira? So the Gemara is going to attack this problem a number of different ways. The truth of the matter is that in terms of a plan, a layout, it's going to be the same layout for basically the entirety of today's daf. And that is, there's no way to resolve the stira. It's a machlokas tanaim, right? Our Mishnah here represents one Tana, and the Mishnah over there in Taharos represents a different Tana. Different schools of thought on this issue. And really, the truth of the matter is that really is the structural resolution of how to do it. And now, for the rest of today's daf, it's just now going to be a question of which Tana is it that reflects our Mishnah, and which Tana is it that reflects the Mishnah in Taharos. Okay, that's the game plan for today. Let's get underway. So the first crack at answering this question is going to be given to Rabbi Zera, and he says, Lokasha Rabbi Elazar HaRabbanan. So really, what it is, it's a machlokas tanayim, and the discrepancy between the shita Rabbi Eliezer and the shita of the Chachamim. Okay, so we did this yesterday. So let's say a person was makdish chaya behema. Okay, and the way I'm going to set up like the Ran said, he said either chaya or he said behema. And as we explained yesterday, and let's do this again today quickly, and that is that when it comes to animals, animals are categorized in two different categories. Either the animal is going to fall into the category of chaya or behema. That's it. That's by your large animals. Okay, now, what's a behema? So a simple translation would be domesticated animals, like cow, sheep, goat. So those are behemas, as opposed to chaya. Chaya are wild animals, deer, gazelle. Okay, so and what are differences between the two of them? So as I pointed out yesterday, so there are two fundamental differences between them in terms of halacha. So when it comes to the chelav of a behema, aser min haTorah, with a chi of kares. When it comes to the chelav of a chaya, mutar legamrei. Okay, that's one fundamental difference. Another one, the mitzvah of kisui adam. Yeshech the behema, no requirement of kisui adam. Yeshech the chaya, there is a requirement of kisui adam. Fine. Anyway, what's happening over here is that he's got animals on his farm, and he's makdish. And he's makdish either the chayos or the behemos. A little bit strange he's got chayos on his farm, but regardless. The point is as follows. And amongst the animals that he has, he also happens to have a koi. And as we explained yesterday, what is a koi? Suffolk. We don't know where the koi belongs categorically. Right? In our multiple choice answer, it could either be A, behema, or it could be B, chaya, or there could be a C option, and that is none of the above. It's a beria bifni atzma. It's its own independent entity. It categorically is different. Okay, whatever it is, we don't know. We don't know what it is. And so therefore now, as he's makdish all of his chayos, alternatively, he's makdish all of his behemoth, so what happens to the kai? So, the Mishnah tells us the following. So it's a brisa, regardless. Hamakdish chayos of behemoth, hikdish is a kai. So here in the brisa, what happens to the kai? It's mukdash. In other words, since you were makdish all your animals, and since it's possible you included the kai as well, the kai is included, at least according to the Tanakhama. But then comes along Rebbe Lazar Amar Lo Hikdash HaZakai. So, and Rebbe Lazar says, no, you were Makdash HaZakai. Meaning, in your mind, when you were Makdash all your behemos, so what you were including were only those things that are definitively behemos. But the Kai is on, it's unclear. It's a suffix. You didn't include that. That is what we know about Rebbe Eliezer. And so now the Gemara makes the following jump, meaning that's a brisa where we know according to Rabbi Elazar Yoram Makdish the Kai. And now the Gemara says, Manda Amar Mamona Mayalos Feka Gufe Nami Mayala Manda Amar Mamona Lamayalos Feka Gufe Lisfuke Kol. I'm sorry, Lisfeka Gufe Kol Shekain Deloma Ayalos Feka. So here's now the jump the Gemara is making. Look, in that case over there, that's your Mamon, right? That's talking about your possessions in which you were Makdish. And according to Rabbi Lazar, if it's a suffake, meaning you know you made a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, you know you said behema, but you know, however, that you're only including in your mind only those things that are definitively behema. So, and you are not including sfeikos. If that's true regarding your money, so regarding your guf, lo kol shekein, meaning when it comes to accepting upon yourself to become a nazir, and you're unclear, so for sure, And something which is a suffix is a non-commitment. Okay, that's the leap the Gemara just made. If by your money, a suffix will result in non-commitment, when it comes to your very own goof, a suffix certainly will lead to a non-commitment. Good. So now what we have is, at least according to Rabbi Zera, an argument to be made that Rabbi Lazar is really the Mishnah and Taharos. The Mishnah and Taharos says suffix nizirus lahakel. Now that we know Rabbi Eliezer Shita as it relates to the Kai, so now we're just simply going to make a small jump from that Brisa to the Mishnah Taharos. And now this will conclude the Rabbi Zera's presentation. We have a stira between Mishnah, our Mishnah here in Nedarim, and the Mishnah Taharos. Oh, problem resolved. The Mishnah in Nedarim is following not Rabbi Eliezer, and the Mishnah Taharos is following Rabbi Eliezer. Shalom Yisrael, that is approach number one. Okay. Right. Later in today's daf, the Ron is going to entertain what Phil just pointed out. Just if I could repeat it, so that people can hear. So what Phil pointed out is that maybe the koi is not a suffix. Maybe the koi is definitely its own independent category. And maybe that leap that we just made to go from the case of koi to the case of suffix nazirus maybe is not a successful leap. So that's it's a wonderful point. The Ron, in fact, later on today is going to use that as one of his arguments. Okay, acknowledging that it's a really good point. And so the jump the Gemara made may not be a viable jump. But okay, at least that's where we're at right now in terms of resolving the stira between the Mishnah in the Nedarim and the Mishnah in Taharos. So Amalei Abai b'Ma'ukim Tala Suffing Azir Slakel Karebi Eliezer Sayma Seifa. So now along comes Abaye, and he says to Rabbi Zera, how'd you do that? Meaning you're telling me that Mishnah in Taharos is going like Rabbi Eliezer? How about this? Let's go to the Mishnah in Taharos. Let's read on. In the Mishnah, so Safik Bechoros, Echad Bechori Adam, Echad Bechori Behema, so Bein Temeya, Bein Tahora, Hamotzi Mechaver Olaveraya. So you have a case of Safik Bechoros. Now, let's say, for example, Safik Bechor Adam. Now you're going to have a case of Safik Bechor Adam. Okay, so I'll give simple examples, right? So you had twins, and which one came out first? You don't know, right? Both of them were delivered, and one was a boy, and the other one was a girl. And now you don't know if the girl came out first. There's no chiyuv. If the boy came out first, there is a chiyuv. Okay.
Why good. Does he have to be boy and girl? Why not two boys?
Because one of them for sure now is going to be a bechor.
Yeah, one for sure.
Yeah. So now you definitely owe the kohen money.
Well, then, right.
Okay.
Yeah, but he will have to be. Unless we have a right. Which one?
He'll go to the father. In other words, it'll be mostly from the father. Okay. So I give the example of boy girl because there now we have a bona fide suffix whether the father owes the money or doesn't owe the money. Okay, good. So with that stated, so now that Mishnah Becharos, and that's just Bechor Adam, Bechor Behema, we can give a similar case. Anyway, the point is that according to that Mishnah, in the case of Safik, what do we say? Motzi Mechavera Alavaraya. So now the Kohen comes over, knocks on your door and says, no, give me the Bechor. And you're going to look at him and you're going to say, I don't understand. Right now it's a Safik. You're going to extract money from me and all you have is a claim of Safik. You know the rule. Motzi Mechavera Alavaraya. Now, despite the fact from a monetary standpoint, there's nothing to deliberate, so that's true. But when it comes to the animal itself, meaning let's not talk about the human, let's talk about the animal. So the animal itself, that's a suffix bechor. So can the Kohen extract it from you? So monetarily, the answer, of course, is no. In other words, for him to extract money from you, he needs to know definitively that you owe the money. He cannot prove that. That part's easy. However, when it comes to the animal itself, it's possible the animal's a bechor. And now there's a possible kedusha on the animal. And so what are we going to say regarding the animal itself? Aser begizav avoda. Now, the animal is a suffik. Which direction are we going by a suffik? Are we going to be machmer? Are we going to be mekel? So the Mishnah itself doesn't say. But the Brice is very clear. Tani Allah, aser begizav avoda. That you can't do gizav avoda. So that means to say that you're trying to argue with me that Mishnah in Taharos is going like Rabbi Elazar, and where does Rabbi Elazar stand when it comes to Sfeikos? He's going to be makel by a suffik. Well, if that's true, let's be consistent. Let's be makel even by the suffik bechor, and let's say that there should be no Isur of Gizav Avoda. So, to which the Gemara just basically shrugs his shoulder and says, that's not a kasha. So Amar Leis, so Rabbi Zera says, back to Abaye, Amai Kamadam, it's Kedusha Abba Melav, Kedusha Abba Bidei Adam. It's not a comparison. Look, let's consider. In the case of the Bechor, was the animal that was born a Bechor, yes or no? We don't know. It's a Suffolk. Okay. Who created the Suffolk? Not you. Circumstances created the Suffolk. You simply don't know which animal was born first. Okay, so from a monetary standpoint, Cohen can't come and take it, because again, the rule of Motzi Mechaver Alav Raya. Good. Now, from an Isser standpoint, so what are we going to do? We're going to do what we always do with a Suffolk. By a Suffolk d'Araisa, of course we're going to be machmir. And so therefore, of course the animal is going to have possible kedusha. Possible kedusha means that we're not going to do gizav avoda. We're not going to shear the animal. We're not going to work the animal. Because the animal may be a bechor. We may be violating nisud araisa. Over here, we're talking about creating a commitment towards the neder, towards nazirus. And over here, you're creating the commitment. And if you're not sure about the commitment that you created, so maybe there was no commitment altogether. It's a different discussion altogether. So the fact that you're quoting to me the Mishnah by Bechor and the Braisa that it's also Begiza Vavoda has no relevancy to our discussion whatsoever. So the Gemara says, so Abaye says to Rabbi Zera, sorry, other way around, Rabbi Zera says to Abaye, so your question is not a question at all, not relevant to our discussion. So Elai Kasha Akasha. The Gemara says, fine. So where are we right now? So we're still in Rabbi Zera's answer. We're on Yud Tesamad Aleph. We're about a quarter of the way down. And we are trying to resolve a stira between two Mishnayos, our Mishnah in Nedarim in the second parak, and the Mishnah in Taharos. I think the fourth parak. Someone please. Fourth parak? Okay, good. I was going to say, fact check me. Okay, I've been fact checked. Okay, so the fourth parak of Taharos, I do not want to make any kind of impression that I know the Mishnayos in Taharos. I wish I did. Okay, it's a big hole in my game. But anyway, but the Mishnah in Taharos says that by Suffolk Naziris we're going to be Mako. And our Mishnah says, by Suffolk Nadarm, we're going to be Machmir. And where are we right now? Within the answer, Rabbi Zera, which is the Mishnah in Nadarm, our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. The Mishnah in Taurus is going like Rabbi Eliezer. It's the Machlokas Tanayim. Two different schools of positions, and they're just simply reflecting the two different schools. And we have it now that the Mishnah in Taurus is a reflection of the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. How do we arrive at Rabbi Eliezer? So we got to Rabbi Eliezer because of the case of the Koi. Okay. Adkan, that is almost the end of this discussion. A little bit more to go. So, Ela Ikasha Akasha, the Gemara says, okay, if we're going to ask a question on Rabbi Zera, so the following is going to be asked, and that is based on the following. Okay, now here we are we're back in Taharos, but before we introduce this next Mishnah, actually, it's a Tosefta, so let's just give a couple of words of introduction. Food is subject to Tumah. We all know. All right, that part's pretty clear. So if a food comes into contact with a source of tumah, the food's going to become tameh. Okay, I'm grossly oversimplifying, but that's fine. And then what about mashkin? What about liquids? Is liquids also subject to tumah? So before answering yes, so your safest answer is always going to be a machlokas. Here, you will be rewarded for saying machlokas. Not only are you going to be rewarded for saying machlokas, it's a three-way machlokas. Can you imagine? Three opinions in terms of whether or not Mashkin are subject to Tumah. How can there be three opinions? So first of all, every time we go through this, I'm reminded. So my first real inauguration to this discussion comes in the Gemara in Pesachim at the end of the first parak. We're there, Chaninas Gana Kohanim, that entire sugya. Hopefully I remember correctly, it starts on Daf Yates. Anyway, so the Gemara over there really was my inauguration to this entire discussion, going back some years. But Every time we go through this, I feel like I need the chazara. For sure, everyone needs the chazara. So the three positions are the following. Number one is that liquids are subject to tumah. Not only can they become tameh, they can also transmit tumah to other things as well. Okay, and again, this is still, even as I'm presenting this, by the way, there's an oversimplification because we have to be talking about degrees and a rishon and a sheni and a shlishian, and I'm bypassing that right now. We're just discussing whether or not it can become tameh and then transmit it to others. So position number one is that it can become tameh and transmit it to others. Min ha-Torah. Okay. And all this, by the way, is based on an interpretation of one pasuk in the Torah. Again, I'm not even going through the pasuk right now. Right now, I'm just giving the daf in short order form. Position number two is that it can become tameh but can't transmit the tumah. Okay. Position number three is that min ha-Torah, mashkin do not become tameh at all. Min ha-Torah. Min the Rabbanan, yes, but not min ha-Torah. So there are three positions amongst the Tanayim exactly where we stand regarding Mashkin. Already so far complicated enough? Just wait. So Eli Kasha Kasha Safik Mashkin. So let's say, for example, we have a case of liquids becoming Tamei, but not definitively. It was a Safik. Okay, the Ran says over here, you made contact with the liquid. You're not sure if you actually made contact. You didn't make contact. Okay, whatever. Again, I don't want to focus so much on the case. I just want to focus more on the concept. So suffix tumah by mashkin. So li tamei, if we're talking about whether or not the mashkin becomes tamei, and we're not sure, so then tamei. So then the halach is that it's going to be tamei. Li tamei acherim. Okay, now this is a subtlety, and again, I picked up on it over the years, right? Li tamei is reflexive. That's with the yud. That's talking about whether or not the water itself, the liquid itself, becomes tameh. So if the suffix is on that, so then we're going to be machmir. But if it's litame, without the yud, so then we're talking about the transmission from the liquid to other foods or other liquids. So then by suffix, we're going to be mako. It's going to be tahor. Litame acherim tahor. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Vechenaya Rabbi Elazar. Omer kidvarav. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir, also corroborated with Rabbi Elazar. Now over here, by the way, we have the words Rebbe Lazar. What you're going to have to say is that either previously was Rebbe Lazar as well, or over here we're going to edit it to Rebbe Eliezer. However it's going to get ironed out, in other words, this is the Shita of, I'm going to call it from this point going forward, just Rebbe Eliezer. I may be right, I may be wrong, it doesn't matter. In other words, that sheet is Rebbe Eliezer. So where does Rebbe Lazar stand by Thomas Mashkin? In the middle position. Right? Remember, there are three positions. So he stands in the middle position. That min ha-Torah, it could become tameh, but it cannot transmit tumah to others. So therefore, if we have a suffix on the mashkin itself, we're going to be machmir. On the suffix of whether it transmits to others, we're going to be mekel. Good. U'misvir le'le Rebbe Elazar tameh, li tameh tameh. So the Gemara says, now I can't imagine that Rebbe Elazar really feels that way. Why that, Tanya? Because of the following brice of Rebbe Elazar Omer. Ain't tumah le'mashkin kol ikar. That mashkin are not susceptible to tumah at all. In other words, position number 3. It's not subject to tumah at all. Teida sherehe Yosi ben Yoazri shreda al ayel kamsa dachein al mashkin beis mitbachaya dachein. In fact, two testimonies were given by Yoazer ish shreda, and the two testimonies that are given by him is number 1. There's a grasshopper. It's called ayal bar kamsa. Okay, we're not familiar. We don't eat grasshoppers anymore. In other words, there are grasshoppers that are kosher, a certain variety. Over the years, we've lost the Misorah. Not only have we lost the Misorah, but we lost interest. Right? No one's clamoring for the grasshoppers. Okay, fine. Culturally here in the West, not a thing. Back in the day when grasshoppers was eaten. So they had a Masorah, they preserved the Masorah in terms of which grasshoppers are kosher and which are not. And so there was a certain variety. It's called the Ayel Kamsa. It's Tahor. Tahor over here, not Tumah Tahara. Tahor over here means kosher. Okay, good. Not at all relevant to our discussion. Interesting in of itself. Anyway, what is the second Eidus? The second Eidus is Amashkin Beis Mitbechaya. That if you have any Mashkin in the Beis Hamikdash, it's going to be Dachain. Dachain means Tahor. Oh, okay, fine. Meaning any liquid found in the base of Mikdash is going to simply not be subject to Tumah. Now, even though, in other words, what seemingly is position number 3, that Mashkin are totally impervious to Tumah. Now, I did make a mention just moments earlier, if I was listening carefully, I mentioned that it's not Tumah Midaraisa, but there would be a Tumah Derabbanan by Mashkin. So in the base of Mikdash, totally waived, and for good reason. Meaning, what we want to do in the Beis HaMikdash is minimize the amount of Tumah, right? Anything that becomes Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be disqualified. So therefore, since liquids fundamentally are not source of Tumah, cannot transmit Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, the Chachamim waived it altogether, even Midrabanan. Now, what comes out now is the following. So we have a Eidus by Yossi ben Yoazer, and it was substantiating and corroborating the sheet of Rebbe Elazar, that Tumas Mashkin are not subject to Tumah, Kol Iker at all. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So we're just a little bit conflicted within the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer. Tumas Mashkin, is he within position number 2, that it can become Tameh but can't transmit the Tumah? Or is he within position number 3, neither? And certainly it's not the ability to transmit the Tumah, not even the ability to receive Tumah. So where do we stand within Rebbe Elazar? So we're conflicted. And the Gemara points out, I know this is complicated, I know. So hanicha l'shmol da'amar da'chein melatame acherim aval Tumas atzman yesh ban shapir ela rav da'amar da'chein mamash maikel ha'memar. So the Gemara says, now, if you subscribe to Shmuel, his understanding of the Eidus of Yosef ben Yoazer is that when he said da'chein, when he said that the Tumas Beis Mitbechaya is Dachain, he only meant on transmission of Tumah, not on the receiving of Tumah. Fine. So then it works out. Meaning then everything is consistent. Then the two statements of Rebbe Elazar are consistent, and what he was going on was only on the transmission, but not on the reception. However, if you hold like Rav, that Yossi ben Yoezer was saying that Tumas Beit Mitzvah is Dachain, Kol Iker, in total, Mamish, meaning not, it's not going to transmit Tumah, it's not even going to receive Tumah. So then what we have is a steer within Rabbi Eliezer, and the Shitas of Rabbi Eliezer don't match up. And so there, then the whole binyan, the whole approach of Rabbi Zera kind of falls apart. And so where are we right now? Back to the drawing board. Okay. So, I recognize that's a lot of cheshbonos that the Gemara just did. Anyway, what comes out is as follows. Let's just reset our original position, which is that we learned in our Mishnah. Okay. This is a reset now. In our Mishnah, we learned that if a person makes an ambiguous comment regarding the darim, we're going to be machmir. Good. And with many different examples in our Mishnah of what's ambiguous comments regarding a neder. But in any one of the ambiguities, we're going to be machmir. The Mishnah in Taharas tells us, by Suffolk Naziris, we're going to be Mako. Our first approach of the morning was, one is going like Rabbi Lazar, the other one's going like the Chachamim. Our Mishnah is following the Chachamim. The Mishnah in Taharas is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, does that work? So the Gemara challenged Rabbi Zera not once but two times over. And with the second challenge, it comes out now that at least according to one approach, it doesn't really work out so well. So here we are now trying to give a second approach, and that is Ella, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah, that by Suffolk Nazir, we're going to be Mekel, that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, in other words, structurally, it's the same basic idea. It's two schools of thought. It's just a question of who the schools are. Here in the second approach, I'm not sure if this is Rabbi Zera's approach or this is just Tom the Gemara saying it. Either way, the Gemara now is saying is that it's the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What is the Machlokas Tanya? We learned in the Braisa. Harini Nazirim Yesh Bikri Yazem Me'akur. V'alach Umatzah Shenigna V'Shavad. So Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Shimon Oser. Okay, so perfect. So here's the case. Right? Right. The person just harvested and he filled up his silo. And I'm dramatizing over here, by the way, but okay, good. Giving a little more human interest. So he's super excited because now he's got his silo all filled up. And with the silo all filled up, I bet you got 100 kor in there. We're about to measure. I don't know, but we're going to measure. So you know what? If we have 100 kor in there, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to become a nazir. Okay, good. Good. So now what he does is he makes his nazirus, but he attaches it to a condition. Fine. And so next morning they get up there they go into the silo in order to measure. And what happened? Unfortunately, Nignaf, it was stolen. Avad, or it was lost. I don't know how you lose it, but okay, either way. Point is as follows. So now, is he a Nazir? Well, he committed his Naziris to whether there would or would not be 100 kor. He doesn't know whether there was or there wasn't. I mean, I know there isn't now, but in other words, but if there was 100, he's a Nazir. If not, he's not a Nazir. Is he going to be a Nazir? Let's say it all together. It's a Machlokas. And it's a Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yehuda's position is we're going to be Mekel. And Rabbi Shimon's going to be in positions we're going to be Machmir. So now what did we just learn together? Two schools of thought of what to do on a Suffolk. And now, perfect. So I have our mission over here. That's on the side of Machmir. I have the mission to ours that's on the side of Mekel. They're just simply reflecting the two schools of thought. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. Meaning, even if part of it's stolen, we're never going to ascertain as to whether or not there were 100 kor. Right, good. Virami de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, good. So now we have Rabbi Yehuda taking the position of being on the side of Taharos, whereas Suffolk and Zeros were going to be Mekel. And the Gemara says, Umi amar Rabbi Yehuda lamayon nishanav shelas feka, or imin Rabbi Yehuda amar stam truma. So Rabbi Yehuda says the following, stam truma. Now, by the way, where is this? This is a Mishnah Nedarim, otherwise known as yesterday's Daf. Okay, so these are of the many examples in our Mishnah of where somebody made an ambiguous comment. And that is that you compare your loaf of bread to Truma. Now, it depends, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you live. And that is Omer Stam Truma. So be Yehuda Asura, if you're living down south near Yerushalayim, so it's going to be Asur. Uve Galil Muteris, but if you're living up in the Galil, it's going to be Muter. Why? Shein Anche Galil, Makir Nes Truma Salishka. Because in the Galil, you say the word Truma. What are you making reference to? You're living in the north, right? You're not living anywhere in proximity to the Beis HaMikdash, right? In the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Lishka, where the Machzitz HaShekel goes. You have something called Trumas HaLishka. So all that money is Hekdesh. But you don't talk that way. Meaning when you say the word truma and you're living up in the north, you're only referring to one type of truma. And that is truma that you give to a kohen. Truma sagoren. So when I compare the loaf of bread to truma, I'm living up in the north. So I'm making the comparison is only to trumas hagoren. By the way, what you and I call truma. Meaning we're like, it's like we live in the north. Meaning typically speaking, I say the word truma even in the daf. So you're thinking about trumas hagoren. Good. And so therefore, Rav Yehuda will tell you that since people in the north only talk about truma in the context of truma we give to a kohen, and since truma we give to a kohen is not a davar hanador, go back to Daf Yud Beis and Yud Gimel and our Masechta to understand that better why, but that's the fact. It's not a davar hanador, so therefore your neder is not a neder. Good. That's Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara simply notes. Taima dein makirin. Yeah. So that's because there's no recognition. Meaning in the north, we don't use the word truma in terms of truma salishka. Truma salishka, amakirin asurin. Ah. But if for a moment we could just envision that living up in the north, you say the word truma, and it has an ambiguous meaning to it, so what would that indicate? We would be machmir. Only because in the north there is no ambiguity, so therefore we're going to be mako. But if there was ambiguity, we'd be machmir. Okay, so where we are now is a little bit stuck. Meaning because we thought that the resolution between the Mishnah and Dharma and the Mishnah and Taharas is just simply a reflection of the two schools of thought, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon being on the side of Chumra, Rabbi Yehuda being on the side of Kula. But meanwhile, we just learned a Mishnah here in Nedarim. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be Machmir, at least by implication. So Amar Rava, so Gabi Kri, Kasava Kol Sveiko Chumra Mivada, Lo Mayel Nafshe Lesveika. The ilu gabi nazir vadai megalech mevi karpem necha asfekol amatzim megalech. So what we're going to do now is we're going to be miyashev, and we're going to say the following. Look, when it comes to making a neder and there's ambiguity, fine, we'll be machmir. When it comes to being a nazir and there's ambiguity, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mekel. What's the difference? Because consider. What happens at the end of your nazirus? So you have to bring, as we've gone over numerous times, three karbanos, an ola, a shlamim, and a chatas. Now, how's that chatas going to work out for you? If you are at the end of your naziros, and now you bring a chatas, and were you a nazir to begin with? Maybe. In other words, you made an ambiguous comment, and the result was unclear, right? I'm going to be a nazir, but only if there was 100 kor. Somebody stole. I don't know. Okay, you know what? Let me be machmir. I'll be an nazir. Okay, now carry this through. At the end of his nazirus, what's going to happen? What's going to happen now is that he's going to conclude his count. He's going to go to the base of Mikdash. He's going to bring his karbanos. And the kohanim are going to say, okay, just do me a favor. Go over what happened. Oh, you may not be a nazir. Oh, I see. You're only a nazir because of a suffix. So you were being machmir. Okay, so I'll tell you this. You can't bring your karbanos to the base of Mikdash. Right? Especially the chatas. Right? Specifically the chatas. Right? You only can bring a chatas to the Beis HaMikdash if you definitively owe the chatas karban. But if you're not sure, so what are we looking at right now? A possibility of chulin ba'azara. So they're going to tell him, you know, you're a nazir, but with no conclusion. In other words, there's no resolution of your nazirus. Oh, really? Okay. You know what? Can we jump into the time machine? Can we go back to the beginning? If I knew that, I never would, by suffix, I never would take on Naziris. Okay. So the argument the Gemara is making, I just illustrated it with a little bit of drama, but I just illustrated that when it comes to a suffix neder, so you're going to be machmir because there's no downside to being machmir. But by suffix Naziris, because there's not going to be a successful resolution of your Naziris, so therefore you can, you will never accept to yourself to be a nazir out of suffix. That's how we can go ahead and resolve the two positions of Rav Yehuda. So Amalei Rav Huna Bar Yehuda LaRava Amar Harini Nazir Olam Mai. Okay, what if you don't need a resolution for your naziris? Meaning, let's say you take upon yourself to become a nazir olam, a nazir for an undetermined amount of time. Okay, and you do so al suffix. Meaning again, the case of I'm only going to be a nazir if there are 100 kor. So there, So in our explanation of Rav Yehuda, where now, what was the problem? Well, it's never resolvable. However, in this case over here, who cares? You're going to be Nazir in definitively. So Amar Li Nazir Olam Namis Feiko Chamer Mivadai Di Lavadai Hichbit Saaro Mekel Betaro Mevi Shash Behemos Vilus Feika Lo. So the Gemara says, even if it's a Nazir Olam, do you know by Nazir Olam? We're going to see more of this when we get to Masechta Nazir. Even by Nazir Olam, can you imagine going a year, 2 years and not cutting your hair, and 5 years and not cutting your hair? So what you can do by Nazir Olam is that every now and then when your hair is getting too burdensome, so you can go ahead and you can lighten it, otherwise known as getting a haircut, and you can bring karbanos, and that's how you can conduct yourself. So in other words, even by Nazir Olam, there comes a point where you would like a resolution. It's not the same resolution as a regular Nazir who has terms, but nevertheless, there's something to be resolved. So Amar Reini Nazir Shem Shammai, the Gemara says, okay, I'll just push it out to its extreme. And that is that you commit yourself to becoming Nazir Shimshon, and there's no option even for a haircut every once every 5 years, whatever. I just made up a number. So so by Nazir Shimshon, you can never get a haircut. So there really is no issue of resolving. There's nothing to resolve. So there, if I do Nazir Shimshon, I'll suffik. What would you say over there? Amalei Nazir Shimshon Lo Tanya. He says, look, it's not part of the discussion. Amalei Va'amar Rav Adbar Ava Tanya Nazir Shimshon. So he says, okay, but I have it as part of my braisa. So Amalei Tanya Tanya. He says, okay, no, if it's part of your braisa, I can't argue. In other words, if you have a misora like that, that's fine. So Rav Ashi Amar Hayhi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tafoni. As the Gemara says, okay. So the braisa that even describes it legabe Nazir Shimshon. Again, what are we trying to do over here? Sorry, there are a lot of trees. Let's go back and let's take a look at the forest in total. What we're trying to do over here is create resolution between the Mishnah Adarim and the Mishnah Taras. Mishnah Adarim is going like Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah Taras is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is going to be a makel when it comes to being a Nazir. Okay, now. The problem is, within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, so now there still is another wrinkle that needs to be ironed. And that is that Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that says when a person accepts himself to be, wants to make a neder, and he does so in an ambiguous fashion, so in our Mishnah, we learned that that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're going to be machmir. Again, how do we get there? Because in our Mishnah, we learned that if you're living up in the north, and you compare something to Truma, because in the north they have no discussion of Truma Salishka, it's not part of their dialect, so therefore it's for sure going to be a proper hatfasa, which means that with ambiguity, it's for sure not going to be a proper hatfasa, because then you're comparing it to Trumas Goren. If on the other hand there exists ambiguity, so then it would be a hatfasa. In other words, we have in our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda saying that by a suffix neder, it's going to be chal. So now, suffix neder is going to be chal. That's our Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda. And the Mishnah Taharas, by suffix nazir, it's not going to be chal. Right. Okay, so our first approach in terms of how to resolve that is, well, by suffix nazir, you know you want resolution, because otherwise you're never going to finish off your naziris. But what if we're talking about a nazir that has no terms to it, i.e. nazir olam, or a better example, Nazir Shimshon. Then what are you going to say? So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you what. The Mishnah and Taharas regarding Nazir, I have another approach to how to handle that. So Rav Ashi Amar, that's Rav Ashi. So Ahi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tafan, he detani Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tafan Omer, Af Echa Ein Echad Mehem Nazir Lefi Shelo Nitna Nazirus El Alafla. So the Gemara says like this, and that is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, quoting Rabbi Tarfon, so when does a person become a Nazir? Only when his declaration was made with absolute certainty at the time of the declaration, right? The classic example that's given over here is as follows, right? Every time we go over this, the Gemara here happens not to give the example, but the Gemara elsewhere does, and the Ran over here quotes it, and that is, I have a guy walking over to us, right? Right, me and Phil are looking at this guy coming over to us. His hair is extraordinarily long. And so I turn to Phil and I say, you know what? He's a hippie. And Phil says to me, no, he's not a hippie. He's a Nazir. And so, and we make the strangest bet in the history of bets. If I'm right, I tell Phil, I'm going to become a Nazir. Phil says, if I'm right, I'm going to become a Nazir. Okay, one of us is going to be right. He's either a hippie or a Nazir. Okay, it can be both.
Why would you say
so, right, it can be both. So the, so anyway, so what's the halacha? So Rabbi Tarfon says throughout Shas, here's just another example that even though one of us is going to be right, neither of us are going to be a Nazir. Why? Because in order to become a Nazir, there has to be clarity at the point of articulation. Since we didn't know when we made the declaration, we're not going to become a Nazir. Good. That's the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon. The Mishnah in Nazir is going like Rabbi Tarfon. Oh, once we're there, so now we have a simple resolution between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Nazir. So he
didn't know the Korah was there or not, therefore.
Ah, so Ihachi, perfect. My Irya Nignavo Avad. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. So then, in the case of the silo and the 100 core, so even if the core is not stolen, even if it's not lost, meaning at the time when you made the declaration, did you know? No, you didn't know. So then, we don't have to get fancy, right? We don't have to talk about the core being stolen or lost, even if it's not stolen or lost. If at the time of the declaration you didn't know, that's a non-commitment by Nazirus. Ella, the Gemara says, you're right. So the Lodicha Kocha de Rabbi Shimon, the Afagavda Nignavo Avan. So the Gemara says, you're right. As far as Rabbi Yehuda's position is concerned, so we don't need, we didn't need the silo to have been stolen. However, that's true according to Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why the Mishnah gave the example of Nignavo Avad is to show us the position of Rabbi Shimon. Afagavda Nignavo Avad, Kasavra Mayalinish Namshelis Feka. Ah. So according to Rabbi Shimon, his position is really emphasized over here. That look, I made a commitment based on how much is going to be in there. Okay. Next morning we go and check out how much is there. Oh, it's not there. Even in such a situation, we know for sure what Rabbi Yehuda would have said. We know what Rabbi Yehuda would have said had it even been there at the, you know, the next morning. But what we wanted to show, says the Gemara, is the position Rabbi Shimon. Even in such a situation where I can't even determine how much was there. But since it's possible that there was 100 core there, so according to Rabbi Shimon, you made a commitment. Oh, okay, good. That's the reason why the Brisa gave that example. Okay, Adkan, right? In fact, I know we have a little bit more to go. We'll finish it tomorrow. We'll stop over here. Let's quickly recap our day today. It was really just there was one problem to resolve, and we didn't resolve it, but we got at least an approach, okay? And that is the following. Our Mishnah in Nedarim, on Daf Yud Ches, yesterday's Daf, says that Stam Nedarim are going to be Machmir. A person makes an ambiguous comment. It's unclear as to whether or not it's a Neder or it's not a Neder. You could have two possible interpretations. One of them would result in being a Neder. So our Mishnah says we're going to be Machmir. And in fact, it's the Neder is Chal. The Mishnah in Taharos says, no, Stam Naziris is going to be, we're going to be Mekel. Okay, so we have a steer between Mishnayos in terms of where to go by a Safek. So we have basically two approaches in today's daf. Approach number one is Rabbi Zera. And both approaches, by the way, are basically premised on the idea that there are two schools of thought. It's just a question of who the schools are. So in the first approach of today's daf is Rabbi Zera. And that is the Mishnah in Nedarim. Our Mishnah is going like Shitas Chachamim. The Mishnah in Taharos is going like Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. And whether or not that's a viable approach, so the Gemara spent a good amount of today's daf, right? A good part of the Amud Aleph going over that first approach. Okay. And it's mostly defensible, not totally. Then, the second approach is that it's two schools of thought. These two schools of thought are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's a Machmir, and Rabbi Yehuda's a Mekel. Rabbi Shimon is our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda is the Mishnah in Taharos. The problem with that school of thought, with this second approach, is that Rabbi Yehuda seems to be slightly inconsistent. Because in our Mishnah, where do we have Rabbi Yehuda? In the case of Safek Neder, he's going to be Machmir. So how can it be now that you're telling me that the Mishnah in Taharos, by Safek Nazir, is going to be Mekel, and over here, by Safek Neder, is going to be Machmir? So fine, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you, we can resolve that in one of two ways. One is that Safek Nazir is terrible because it becomes unresolvable. You can't bring your Karbonos at the end. So now you're going to commit yourself to becoming a Nazir, but with no resolution, no end to your Nazirs, because you can't bring the Karbanos at the end. Nah, no, he's not going to want to do that. Safek Neder, there's no problem. In other words, okay, fine. The Neder will be Chal. That's one possibility. And the second possibility is that the Mishnah in Taharos about Safek Nazir, that's really a Rabbi Tarfon position, which is that in order to be successfully become a Nazir, so it has to be done bihafla'a, meaning that at the point of articulation, you must know definitively then and only then that you commit yourself to becoming a Nazir. Since that's the position Rabbi Tarfon, the Mishnah in Taharos is reflecting that position. As opposed to our Mishnah over here, which is not talking about Nazir, it's talking about Neder. Okay, I got it.